Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The state reported two new COVID-19 cases yesterday. The cases, one in North Pole and one in Sitka, were confirmed Saturday. A Department of Health and Social Services release says the Sitka case was that community's first and is a resident of a long-term care facility. The Sitka Emergency Operations Center reported that the patient was immediately isolated and transferred to a hospital. The North Pole case was the first positive confirmed in the Fairbanks North Star Borough in 2 weeks. The state also announced yesterday that an inmate at the Goose Creek Correctional Facility in the Mat-Su has tested positive for COVID-19. It's the first state prisoner known to have contracted the disease. The DHSS says the case will be included in numbers to be reported today. Flooding remains an issue at several interior locations. National Weather Service meteorologist Jim Brader says in the Fairbanks area, the Chena River is largely ice-free except for a jam that's been backing up water into the steamboat landing area off Nordale Road in North Pole. Brader says the Army Corps of Engineers has been operating the Chena Flood Control Project dam since Friday.
Operating that off and on, trying to lessen some of the flow coming down the Chena River that is then pushing into the ice that's in the river there.
Brader says dam operators have to balance high water issues up and downstream of the dam.
They still want some water to flow through the dam because they don't want to, they don't want to back up a big lake because then they get groundwater flooding problems too.
Another ice jam on the Salcher River at the Richardson Highway Bridge is causing water to back up, and a flood watch remains in effect for areas upstream of the bridge. Meanwhile, Brader says melting is causing problems along several interior roads.
All the gravel highways throughout the interior, such as the Taylor, the Elliott Highway west of Live and Good, and then the Steeth Highway, especially from Central to Circle, have substantial issues with deep ruts, mud, and some minor washouts.
Other trouble spots include the Dalton Highway at Mile 6, the Tetlin Road off the Alaska Highway, and the Delta Junction area, where first responders helped more than 15 families whose homes were flooded over the weekend. And as KUAC's Tim Ellis reports, volunteers have begun filling 10,000 sandbags in preparation for more high water.
About 40 volunteers from around the Delta area turned out Saturday morning at a local fire station to fill 500 sandbags to replace the 300 or so they'd used the night before to protect a house south of town.
It was a long night.
Tim Castleberry is chief of rural Deltana Volunteer Fire Department.
So the water was over knee high, and then it was coming up through the floorboards in the house. So we pumped it down enough. We got it down below the floor level. We ended up calling Red Cross for them and got them a hotel room for the next couple days.
Castleberry said volunteers from rural Deltana and other organizations had responded to at least 15 flooding calls since Wednesday. They were busy again later Saturday after they got a report of rising water around Delta Meat and Sausage, a meatpacking plant about 8 miles south of town on the Alaska Highway. That's an agricultural area where melt-off from Granite Mountain and the eastern reach of the Alaska Range is accumulating.
There's a lot of snow.
Jeff Kinsman is head of the local community emergency response team, or CERT.
You know, what's happening is the ground is frozen and the snow melts, but it has no place to go. So it's just running and pooling and running, and unfortunately it's damaged and destroyed several houses already.
Kinsman works as an anti-terrorism expert on Fort Greely, and he heads up the local CERT team, which includes area first responders from both Greely and Delta fire departments and volunteers from other organizations like Civil Air Patrol. CAP Lieutenant Jack Baugh says the local chapter's members have been filling sandbags for 3 days.
We were out here Thursday. We got the initial call. Last night they had a house with some imminent flooding. So we came out and filled a few hundred bags, and then we're out here again today.
Castleberry says the local CERT team got 10,000 bags from the state, which the volunteers were filling with sand from 3 10-yard dump truck loads donated by the local concrete plant. He hopes all those sandbags won't be needed so they can be shared with other communities. But he says the weather forecast makes him worry that Delta may need most, if not all of them.
This next week, the weather is showing reaching up into the mid to upper 50s. So, yeah, we're going to probably see a lot more thawing and water moving.
If that forecast bears out, Castleberry, Kinsman, and the rest of the CERT will have a busy week ahead of them, and so do the platoon of volunteer sand shovelers. In Delta, I'm Tim Ellis.
The coronavirus pandemic has scammers preying on people's misfortune and fears. KTOO's Matt Miller reports on how to recognize some of the scams and frauds and what you can do to protect yourself.
You're being offered a cure when we know that there's not any treatments out there that have been approved yet. Chances are that's some kind of scam.
Brian Schroeder is the U.S. Attorney for Alaska. Schroeder says other frauds include masks and other personal protective equipment apparently being sold at sky-high prices. He says scammers may also pose as charities with bogus pitches to get their credit card information. Sarah Nashell is with the advocacy organization AARP Alaska. And she says the biggest scam right now appears related to small business loans, unemployment payments, and stimulus funds. They're likely phishing attempts.
Be careful of anybody calling, emailing, or texting stating that they need to verify your bank account or your personal information in order to deposit or speed up, say, your stimulus check.
U.S. Attorney Brian Schroeder says an effective tool is using your common sense.
Somebody's asking you for something and there's that queasy feeling in the pit of your stomach that, hey, maybe I shouldn't do this. Don't do it.
The advice that everyone gives includes hanging up the phone, don't give out your personal info or credit card number, and the link in that email or text message could lead to the theft of your personal info or load malware on your computer or cell phone. Like other federal prosecutors around the country, Schroeder says they have a dedicated COVID consumer fraud coordinator in their Anchorage office, so they can track down and prosecute a scammer operating out of another state. Haley says the state's Consumer Protection Unit can't file criminal charges, but they can take civil action to shut down fraudsters and scammers in Alaska and impose hefty fines. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
The Fairbanks North Star Borough plans to launch a program this summer to monitor activity at its 13 trash transfer sites. KUEC's Robin reports.
A lot of folks who bring household trash to the transfer stations don't know how they're managed or paid for. Some have no idea that people who live inside the city limits of Fairbanks or North Pole aren't allowed to bring trash to the transfer sites. That's an expensive problem for the borough.
$148.85. That's the combined tipping and hauling fees that's charged for every ton of material that has to be hauled from the transfer site to the landfill.
That's Bob Jordan, the borough's solid waste manager. He told the assembly the two biggest abusers of the transfer sites are people who live in the cities and businesses. People in the cities pay those municipalities for garbage collection, so when a city resident takes the trash to a transfer station, it's like double dipping. Commercial businesses are supposed to take their trash all the way to the borough landfill on Sandori Street, or hire a contractor to do it. At about $150 per ton, the cost of hauling the illegal city resident and commercial garbage gets into the millions of dollars for the borough. That's why the code enforcement program was wanted. But it adds two positions to the borough payroll. Assemblymember Frank Chomachevsky says he doesn't think it will produce a net savings to taxpayers, and he doesn't think adding positions now is prudent.
What we need to really be doing instead of adding employees is really going and educating the public on the rights and wrongs of transfer site use.
He says people need to understand how much it costs the borough to handle trash.
But we've gotten dozens of emails over the last couple weeks telling us not to hire people. And I think we need to listen to the people and do what they've asked us to do, because it is their money.
The new manager position will draw a salary above $90,000, and the officer position will be about $57,000. But the assembly only approved the part of the money to launch the program. The first $54,000 will come from next year's budget. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
And I'm Dan Bross.